We're looking today at Luke chapter 10, and we hope to finish Luke chapter 10, and we'll be looking at verse 38 down through verse 42. I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 42 of Luke 10, if you want to underscore this. But one thing is needful. Just one thing. You're sitting there this morning and you have only one thing that is needful. Spiritually speaking, and really in all life, one thing is only necessary. What would that one thing be? What would you imagine that one thing would be that's absolutely necessary that you must have right now or forever perish in your sin? What is that one thing? Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we think of all things that we might consider necessary to sustain us in this life, there is truly and only one thing that is an absolute must. An absolute must. And that one thing that is absolutely necessary is being found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, I count everything else as loss, dung, and ruin, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Being vitally joined to the Lord Jesus Christ by a living union of faith. That is what is most necessary for you and me. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. John put it this way. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son, one thing needful. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God does not have life. Now, that's a necessary. The Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely necessary for all of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing needful. Without Him, we have nothing of eternal or spiritual value. You see, the fashion of this world, everything you look upon, everything you look at with this natural eye, the fashion of this world is surely passing away. The fashion of this world is passing away. Only that which is of eternal value, found in Christ, is the only thing that really matters and the only thing that lasts. Now, this story here, found in Luke 10, 38 through 42, is only given by Luke. It's not given by Matthew, not given by Mark, not given by John. And it is most instructive for everyone, but especially you who believe the gospel. Good instruction from the Lord. Now, let's consider this little family. Mary, Martha. I think Martha was the older sister. She seemed to be in charge of the household. Mary and Martha, and they had a brother whom the Lord loved, but who was sick. His name was Lazarus. They lived in the city of Bethany, which is about 2 miles from Jerusalem. This family was blessed to believe the Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah and trusted Him for all their salvation. We read that confession of Martha found in John 11, 27. Martha confessed, I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is a good confession. This family, being a family full of believers, they faithfully followed the Lord Jesus Christ and His teaching. They submitted to His teaching. They submitted to His authority, His lordship. They followed His ministry, and they were truly devoted to Him. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't they? They were looking to Him for all of their salvation. And the Lord, in John chapter 11, tells us why that Martha and Mary and Lazarus loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch that in John chapter 11? He tells us why. It says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You see, we only love Him because He first loved us. If you're a lover of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is because He has loved you with an everlasting love from all eternity, and He has set His love upon you. It was a time of love and called you like He did Lazarus out of that grave and made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now when the Lord passed by that way through Bethany to Jerusalem, they were eager to invite Him to their home and receive Him as an honored guest. Now what a privilege. You just put yourself in Martha's place, in the place of Mary. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming that way, and they hear about it, and they send out word, Lord, would you come to our house? And they received Him. It says here in verse 38, now it came to pass as they went, that is the Lord and His apostles, that He entered into a certain village, we know it to be Bethany, and a certain woman named Martha received Him. Now you see that? Received Him into her house. Now this is exactly what saving faith does. Saving faith, when we hear of the Lord Jesus Christ, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We do receive Him in all of His character, in all that He is. We receive Him by faith and we embrace Him and look to Him in saving faith. That's what saving faith does. Looks to Christ alone. By Him all that believe are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's consider for a moment this family of Martha, Mary her sister, and Lazarus the brother. Being a believer does not exempt us from troubles, heartache, and sorrow in this life. Being a believer does not exempt us. This family loved the Lord. I mean, they believed Him to be the Messiah, the Christ, and they confessed Him to be the Son of God. But the brother of these two believers, we know, as we read in John 11, became sick. Maybe the Lord didn't love him as much. No, it says there in that text, he whom thou lovest is sick. So being a believer does not prevent sickness. Being a believer does not prevent heartache and trial. Lazarus became sick and Lazarus died, yet we know the Lord loved him. So never ever get this idea in your mind because someone is sick or because someone's going through a trial and that person says he's a believer, that the Lord doesn't love him. No, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You see, they had trouble. Man that's born of woman is few days and full of trouble. They had trouble with sin because they were sinners. They had trouble with sickness and death because they lived in this sin-cursed world in which we live. Sickness is all around us. Sickness is within us. I get up every morning and I try to move a little bit. And I said, oh, that hurts. What's going on? This body is full of decay. I mean, it's quickly going to the grave. Dust thou art and dust thou shalt return. But grace and believing the gospel is no exemption from trouble. Those that will live godly in the Lord Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution. Faith is no exemption from heartache and sorrow. Our Lord says in John 16, these things have I said unto you that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, he said, I've overcome. We have the victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord sends trials and grace. The Lord sends the trial, and then he sends grace for the trial. Wherever providence, the good and sovereign providence of God, wherever his providence leads us, his grace follows us. And God gives grace for the trial, in the time of trial. Now, you who are older believers, haven't you always found that to be so? Where providence takes you, the grace of God is sufficient. And when the trial comes, God also gives the grace. Now, here's the second thing I want us to notice in verse 38 down through verse 40. These two sisters were both believers. Look what it says. Martha received him into her house. I take it that she was the older sister and in charge of the household. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. I mean, that's a good place to be, is it not? Sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and hearing him speak. But Martha, she was a busy woman. She was cumbered about with much serving and came to him. Now, I kind of get the picture that the Lord is in maybe a different room, or maybe just outside the house, or maybe in the porch of the house, and he's surrounded by all these different people. And there he is teaching these who are willing to sit and listen. And here comes in rambunctious Martha. Here comes in Martha. And she interrupts the preacher. She said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister had left me alone to serve? Command her to come over here and help me." Now, can you imagine such a sight? I thought about this a long time. These two sisters were both believers, right? I mean, they both were believers. Both were partakers of a divine nature in the new birth. Both were made new creatures in Christ. But they went about things in a different manner, didn't they? Now, this will help us. Martha, like Peter, you remember Peter, rambunctious and bold and outspoken. Martha, like Peter, was active, impulsive, strong-willed, hard-working. She spoke out her mind, and she did it openly. "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother hadn't died. He couldn't have died." But Martha was truly devoted, as Peter was. But here in our story, she was cumbered about, distracted about with so much serving all these special guests. And they were special. And they needed to be served. The Lord and his 12 apostles were coming to her house for food and refreshment. And she was in a scurry. She was in a scurry. Now, here's Mary. Mary knows the same thing that Martha knows. She's a believer like Martha. And yet, she seemed unconcerned. She would rather sit at the Lord's feet and listen. And listen. Now, Mary, like John the Apostle, was quiet, calm, easygoing, ready and willing to sit at the Master's feet and to learn of him. Now, Martha, rambunctious. Mary, calm, quiet, reposed. You see, grace reigns through righteousness in both of them. But each of them, the grace of God, had a different effect upon them. Now, here's the lesson. We must never think a person is not converted or a lover of Christ because they do not respond in a certain situation like we would. That's nothing but, now, oftentimes we're tempted to think, well, if that happened to me, I'd, wait a minute now, not happen to you. As someone said, don't criticize that Indian until you've walked 1,000 miles in his moccasins. You might have a problem too. We must never think a person is not converted or a lover of Christ because they do not respond in a certain situation like we do. That's nothing but pride and self-righteousness. That's all that is. God's sheep all have their own different peculiarities and personalities, and they each react in different ways. Some in a quiet spirit, some in a maybe an outspoken spirit. Now listen, all believers are alike in the principal things of the gospel. All confess their sin unto God, talking about believers. All trust Christ for all of their salvation. Yet in many ways, believers are different. Lionel is Lionel, and Tom is Tom. Now, I can't be like him, and he can't be like me. And when we try to live like someone else, we just make big mistakes. Be who you are. Be who you are. You see, in many ways, believers are different. They have different gifts, and they serve the Lord in different ways, in different capacities. Now, I want you to turn and read this with me. Hold your place there and find 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Chapter 12 will work better. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. By the one Spirit are we all baptized into the one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. You got it? For by one Spirit are we all baptized into the one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free. All have been made to drink of that one Spirit of God. For the body is not one member, but many. So the foot, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where the smelling? You see what he's saying here? Look at verse 18. But now God has set members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. As it has pleased him. 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 We need, in the body of Christ, both eyes and ears. Both feet and hands. We need both Peter and John, both Mary and Martha. Let's not try to put everyone into the same mold. We thank God for all of his sheep, for all believers have different gifts and serve the Lord in a different way, in a different capacity. We're all one body, but we're members, everyone in that body. Okay, here's the second thing I want us to look at in our story in Luke chapter 10. Turn back over there. Mary, it says here, sat at the Lord's feet, verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his teaching, heard his word, preaching the gospel. Now, while Martha was busy about the house, trying to fix something to eat, she was cumbered and distracted about much. And notice carefully what she said to the Lord, maybe even interrupting the Lord. Verse 40, Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, don't you care? Now what a charge. What a charge to level against the all-compassionate, loving Lord. Don't you care? I mean, what a charge. You see, she was a believer. She confessed the Lord. But she's outspoken, wasn't she? Lord, don't you care? Yes, he cares. That my sister had left me. There it is. That's the problem right there. Me. Me first. You remember that sermon on me first? To serve alone. Now you. Now she starts to tell the Lord what to do. As if he doesn't know. You remember it came to pass? You see, the Lord arranged all this to happen. To teach her and to teach us. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. I mean, you command her right now to get up from where she's sitting. Come over here and help me cut up some tomatoes. Now, Martha stands before the Lord talking and complaining about her situation, rather than listening to the Lord. Lord, don't you care about me? My sister sits at your feet and has left me alone. Now, command Mary to help me. Now, two things we see here. Mary standing and talking, Martha standing and talking, and Mary sitting and listening. Now, let me ask you a question. How much have you ever learned by talking? You learn by listening. You learn by listening. A wise old preacher used to say to young people who had many questions, you just sit and listen, and all your questions will be answered. Just sit and listen, and all your questions will be answered. Don't stand up and spout off. Sit down and hush. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. And maybe then when you do speak, you'll have something to say rather than putting your foot in your mouth, making a fool of yourself. You see what's going on here? Here we see the old Adam sin nature starts to creep out in Martha, doesn't it? That's what we see. She complained to the Lord about her sister doing nothing. Why would she do that? Why wouldn't she say, oh, I'm so thankful Mary has the opportunity to sit at the Lord's feet and learn of Him and hear Him? But no, you see that old nature that we still have, that is full of sin, that just thinks about me first. All of us are plagued with this. May the Lord suppress it. May the Lord cause us to put off the old man with his deeds. Now, here's the practical lesson for us. Let us not get so involved and distracted with the cares of this life that we neglect the weightier matters of worshiping the Lord and seeking to serve Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't enjoy things in life. Men enjoy their work. They enjoy their hobbies. I enjoy my family. I enjoy traveling. I enjoy these different things. But these things are not needful. The one thing that is needful is sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be careful about neglecting the weightier matters of worshiping the Lord and seeking to serve Him rather than be so distracted. And we have so many distractions in this life today. I mean, we just have distractions on everywhere you go. You have distractions that pull us away from worshiping and serving the Lord. Now, this is just being plain and honest. We live in this life that is full of distraction. We've got to get up and go to work in the morning. Somebody's got to put food on the table. I mean, we have these things that have to be done. But let us not go about our daily life and our daily walk being totally distracted from looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that help you? I hope it does. Now, here's the last thing I want us to consider. In verse 41, what's the Lord going to say to this woman? I mean, the Lord loves her. We read that clearly. The Lord loved Martha and Mary. And the Lord answered her with a double-double. Martha, Martha. Martha! Oh, in case you didn't hear me, Martha! He got her attention, didn't he? You're careful, anxious, and you're troubled about so many things. And this life is full of anxiety and care. But one thing is needful. Mary, you see, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now here we see the Lord's solemn rebuke and the Lord's remedy. First the rebuke. Martha, Martha. You're troubled. You're anxious about too many things. Now remember, the Lord knows her heart truly and completely. The Lord looking right at her motive, right at her heart. He knows everything that's going on in her mind. And like a loving, wise parent, who sees the fault of the erring child, he chastens her tenderly with a rebuke, doesn't he? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And then the Lord gives her the remedy. The remedy. Like a wise physician diagnoses the disease, and then he applies the remedy. Now my son is a young doctor. He just finished his 3-year residency program, and he's been on the job as an attending physician at the University of Kentucky for 1 week. He'd been on the job for 1 week. He worked 12 7-hour shifts. And I asked him, after he was about to finish his first week as being an attending physician, I said, "What is the most important thing you learned?" He said, "Well, I've made some diagnosis. I've made some important diagnosis on certain patients. I was able to diagnose their condition and able to provide the remedy, provide the medicine." Now see, a wise physician, he has to know what the disease and problem is before he just starts writing out prescriptions. "Hey, will you just take this? Just take this. Just take that." You got to know the problem, right? That's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the wise physician who knows the problem, sin, and applies the medicine that we need, which is his word, his truth, his gospel. One thing is needful for our problem, and that is his truth. His word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. The only thing needful in this life is to hear of him. To hear of him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Being one with him by this vital union of faith, we have all things in Christ. The Lord says, one thing is needful, to sit and listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Being one with him by a vital union of faith, we have all things in him. All spiritual blessings are found in him. And I love what he says here. They shall never be taken away. You know, the Lord doesn't give a blessing and then take it away. When he gives us salvation, he saves us with an everlasting salvation. When he gives us redemption, he redeems us with eternal redemption, which shall never be taken away. The Lord Jesus Christ is all of our salvation. We're complete in him. Christ is our portion. That word there, part, means that Christ is our portion. He's our good portion. He is our part. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ is our inheritance and reward that shall never be taken away. It shall never be diminished. It shall never fade. You see, faith in Christ will never be taken away. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us salvation that shall never be taken away. We read in Romans 8:7, we've been made heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been made heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ himself. Now listen to this. 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, that's reserved in heaven for you. Just one thing needful. You need Christ. But you know what? You'll never know your need of Christ until he makes you to see that you need him. You need him. Now, he says here that Mary hath chosen. Mary hath chosen. This was Mary's choice to sit at his feet, and it was a choice of grace. This is not something that men do naturally. The carnal mind is enmity. To choose to sit at his feet is to believe his word, and we believe only by the power of his grace. Mary's choice was to sit at his feet, and it was a choice of grace. This is where true faith leads, not to stand in opposition and complain, but rather to humbly sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." That's Matthew chapter 11, verse 28-30. Saving faith bows in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Saving faith confesses him as Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, Martha was sternly rebuked, right? What's going to happen to Martha? What's the rest of the story about Martha? Well, the Lord gives it to us. Turn over to John chapter 12. You reckon she quit? Reckon she quit serving the Lord? Reckon she just quit believing the Lord? Quit serving Him? No, not at all. Over here in John chapter 12, then 6 days before the Passover came, the Lord came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, and they made him a supper. Now watch it. Here it is again. Martha served. Where's Mary? Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. This is Lazarus being raised from the dead. Then Mary took a pound of ointment and spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus, wiping his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Here again, Martha, she believing the Lord, she received him again into her house and is serving the Lord as Martha would do. And here again, Mary is sitting at his feet, anointing his feet, preparing his body for what is about to happen as you read on there. May the Lord, see, the point is, she persevered in faith. She's still serving the Lord. She didn't say, "Well, you're not welcome in my house now." No, come on. Come on. I still believe you. I still love you. May the Lord be our teacher, that we might learn the one thing needful, Christ and Him crucified. That's the lesson. I thought of this psalm, Psalm 27. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. One thing that I've desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple." One thing is needful. May the Lord bless His word. Amen.